And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we've heard in this service several times, we come to this final Sunday Advent service of this year of 2016, and we continue this morning with the theme that we have been following, Serious Preparations. And it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? We started out by getting directives from God as far as a list to write out in preparation for the celebration of our Lord's birth and in preparation for His second coming, which could be at any moment, or it could be thousands of years from now. Only God knows the day or the hour. And so on that list was at the very top that we would be in the Word, that we would be in worship, that we would be about the Lord's business, seeking His will. And we also talked about making a list of the unchurched that you know in your life and to hold them up in prayer. And if the opportunities could arise, that you would invite them to come and worship with us here at Trinity, or at least to worship where God's Word is being proclaimed. And quite a list that God laid out for us. And then in the second week, we talked about the seriousness of our sin and the need to turn away from it and to turn to God. We heard John the Baptist coming with that message of repentance. And then last week, we heard Jesus say, "Go and tell." And we talked about Christmas cards. What an opportunity this season of the year, having something you can send in the mail that people probably aren't going to immediately throw in the trash, and to send in that card the good news of Jesus Christ and the real meaning of the season that we celebrate together as His people. But also that we are walking Christmas cards, that in the presence of other people are physically present with us, that we have the opportunity, as Jesus directs us, to go and to tell others about the greatness of His love and just the wonderment of this season that you and I celebrate. Well, today we conclude by making the guest list. You know, the party is soon to be here, isn't it? And the question is, who are we going to invite to the party? Now think about this. There are many who fail to invite the most honored guest to the party. And we know the most honored guest is Jesus. And I just try to imagine, you know, as a parent, and I have a child that's celebrating a birthday. Can you imagine, you know, you send out invitations to family, to aunts and uncles, and to siblings, and to cousins, and grandparents, and great-grandparents, and then you think, wow, we want this to really be a big party, so we're going to even invite the neighbors and friends of our child. And so all the people come, and the house is filled with laughter and joy, and my, the gifts are piling up. And then you go to sing happy birthday, and you realize that your child isn't there. Why? Because you forgot to invite him. You failed to invite the most important guest of the party. Now, everybody probably was having a good time, but the whole purpose of the party suddenly makes no sense, because the reason for that party was the one who was failed not to invite them. Well, do we ever do that with Jesus? You know, most of the world does. There's a lot of people in this country that celebrate Christmas, right? And have all of those family traditions. And even in those traditions, certainly the gift giving, and there's the joy, there's the food, there's the presents piled under the tree. And yet, not once is Jesus ever mentioned. And by some, very intentionally, they don't want Jesus to be there. They deny His presence and His existence and the blessings that He gives. Now, we would never do that, right? Well, even as Christians in the commercial world that we live in today, we too have to be very careful that when we celebrate our Lord's birth, that we don't fail to invite Jesus to come. And maybe I can ask you this, in your celebrations, how often is Jesus mentioned? Or when you get together for your family gatherings and opening gifts and so forth, do you spend time in prayer together as a family and friends? Do you open the Bible and read the Christmas story? You know, a tradition that we have in our family is we always light a big candle and then we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. A wonderful way, a very simplistic way of focusing in and acknowledging and recognizing whose party this really is. And do you take time to discuss why we give gifts? You know, we can get into such patterns, we forget why we even do the things we do. They're so common and routine to us. But what an opportune time to share about the greatest gift given, Jesus, the one who saves us, Emmanuel, God with us. What greater gift could we receive than the one received, the one given in the package of that little babe, our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ? And so the important thing for us really to take seriously today is just ask the question, when people leave our celebration of Christmas, do they leave knowing that Jesus is the reason for the party? That Jesus is really the reason for the season? Do they leave our homes knowing that first and foremost? Well, we probably all failed in different ways in this. But you know what's really fascinating about Jesus' birthday party is that the one who is the honored guest is actually the one who invites us. Isn't that cool? The one who is the honored guest of the party is the one who invites us to the party. And certainly we see that in the gospel reading today in light of Joseph. And my goodness, what a confusing time for Joseph. He's betrothed, he's engaged to Mary. And of course, during that time of betrothal by Jewish culture, it was as binding as marriage itself. Except that during that period, there were no sexual relations between those that were betrothed to one another. And to Joseph's great dismay, Mary is pregnant, and she is with child, and he knows that he is not the father of the child. And so this becomes a very, very hurtful time for Joseph, a very troubling time for him. And yet we see Joseph's character in this. He could have turned Mary in, and she could have been put to death by stoning, because that was the culture of the day. That was the law, and it was a very serious situation. It was life-threatening for Mary. And yet Joseph, we see his character. He resolves, we hear in the gospel reading, to divorce her quietly, to not make this a public announcement, to allow Mary to go on with her life quietly without anybody really knowing. But then the invitation comes from Jesus through an angel of the Lord who informs Joseph in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Wow. Do you realize the significance of those words? That here Mary, a virgin, is now pregnant with child. There's no human father to this child. But as the angel reveals, and as Gabriel, the angel, spoke to Mary long before this time, that she would conceive and bear this child, it is conceived by God. It is conceived by the Holy Spirit. This child is like no other human being ever born, because this child is the God-man. He is fully God and he is fully man in the body and the person of Jesus Christ. He is Jesus, as Joseph and Mary are commanded to give him that name, which means God saves. And he is also Emmanuel, God with us. What an invitation through a dream for Joseph to come to Jesus' party and to realize that Jesus literally is the life of the party. Hear that term, right? Oh, so-and-so, boy, they're just the life of the party. But in this case, it's literal. Jesus is the life. Without him, there is no life, because we know the wages of sin. And the wages of sin is death. But by the angel's announcement, in the very name that Jesus is given, he will save his people from their sins. How awesome is that? Mary was carrying in her womb the one who would save her from her sin. And Joseph, who almost walked away from this relationship, realizes, as God revealed it to him, that this one in Mary's womb saves him too. In fact, Jesus came for the whole world, didn't he? Of all time. Jesus saves. And then Jesus, on his journey to the cross, as we fast forward, in fact, it was on the eve before he died on the cross. Remember, he was there with the disciples. They were greatly disturbed when he announced to them again that he must be crucified. And Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And I go to prepare a place for you." But in that, Jesus also says these words, "I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life." The way, the truth, and the life. He is the life of the party. He is the only way. And Jesus then makes it very clear, no one comes to the Father except by me, except through me. Jesus is the only way to salvation. His very name revealing of that. But as we heard in the Old Testament prophecy, some 700 years before Christ came, the promise of this one who would be born of a virgin and the name given, Emmanuel. And now we see it again in this gospel reading. Not only is this child Jesus, but he is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God has come into the world. God has taken on our flesh. God has become true man for the purpose of delivering us from sin, from our failure to fulfill the law, which Jesus, as true man, did perfectly. He met every demand of the law, and we receive the benefits of that personally through faith. And then Jesus went the way of the cross, and he died for the sins of all people. And he gives to you and me, through faith, personally, the blessings of that great work. It is finished. The work of salvation is completed, and Jesus says, "Here, it's yours. It's in your possession." Boy, I kind of like the life of the party, don't you? More than like. We love him, and the Lord loves us even beyond what we can imagine. Well, you might want to write this text down. I ran out of time this week and didn't get things up for the screen, but Romans 5, verses 18 through 19, we hear these words, Romans 5, 18 to 19, and it's talking about the one man who is Adam, the first man God created, and we know that Adam fell into sin. But then we hear about another man, and it's a reference to Jesus, the perfect man. And hear these words now. "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men," there's original sin, "so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." So just as through Adam We all have inherited that original sin, and it's like the death gene, and if God had not intervened, we would be lost and condemned for eternity. But God's Son is sent to deliver us. Wow, look at that. Thank you, guys, on the soundboard. And for as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Do you see why Jesus being conceived by the Holy Spirit is so significant? By being conceived by the Holy Spirit, that chain of original sin was broken, that was passed down from every generation, from Adam and Eve to this very day, with the exception of Jesus Christ. He did not inherit that sin. Why? Because his Father is God. And so Jesus, the perfect one, has done everything necessary that we may be saved. Wow, what a gift. Think of that as you celebrate Christmas. Think of that as the parties are going on and the gift giving and all the joy and laughter that fills the home. He is the life of the party, and he is the greatest giver of gifts. And just think of the gifts that we receive from him. Certainly the gift of new life in faith, but not only do we receive that new life, it's a sustained life because our Lord sustains it through his word, through this sacrament of the Lord's Supper that we have so many opportunities to receive. Through these means of grace, God makes sure that our faith is, the fire is fueled and that we do not fall away. God doesn't just create us and then walk away, but he is intimately involved in our lives. And not only that, he gives you and me a purpose-filled life. Talk about a gift. Have you ever talked to somebody, you know, I don't know why I'm here, it's just life makes no sense, it's so depressing, go to work every day, has no purpose? Well, the Lord gives us purpose-filled lives. That is a precious gift. And he gives us abundant life, a life filled with hope. I read an article from our First Lady, Michelle Obama, and she said, I don't know how I'm going to live now because there will be no more hope because we are leaving the White House. I thought, what an arrogant statement in the first place. But I thought a little bit more about that, and there's a lot of people that see hope in that way. And their lives now are hopeless because they put all of their hope in human beings. But we know better. We know our hope is in the Lord, who is unchanging and unfailing to us now and forevermore. And we receive this life filled with love. A lot of people think that nobody loves me anymore. But if the whole world would fail to love us, we know we are loved unconditionally beyond what we could ever imagine in terms of being loved, because we have Jesus. And with him, we also are filled with peace. Not as the world offers it, as if you were here on Wednesday to hear the journey we went through there of gifts from God, but being at peace with God, knowing the Father has his arms open to us like he has to George and Lorna, whom he has received now into glory. And most of all, we're filled with joy. You know, in a Christian home where Christmas is being celebrated, now there's a party. There's a party because it's not just happiness. It's not just like, oh man, the world's beat me up and we can have this one moment, just forget about all that stuff and we can have a really good time. And then when it's over, then it's the mundane time of cold January, right? And the depression settles in. That's not you and me. Because we have this joy that isn't based on the world and its circumstances, but it's visualized right there for us. That God gave to you and me, Jesus, Emmanuel, oh, the most important guest. And he actually invites you and me to his party. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.